Andy, how's it going this week?
It's going well. Yeah, I was telling you before, yeah, we got an offer accepted on the house. It is a wild offer. Very, very advantageous to the sellers, but we're happy with it. It's going to be a house that we don't see ourselves ever leaving. And it was just important for us to finally kind of put down our roots. And so it was the right time. Price was fair at the end of the day with the current conditions. So we're excited about that. But now, yeah, all the fun around that gets to come together. And so it'll be a good balance of dealing with real life stuff and balancing that with the work stuff. But I mean, fortunately right now at Saberson, the team's humming along really well, kind of tweaking processes a bit as I've talked about before. And just, but I feel like we're in a pretty good spot where fortunately day to day, there's not as much that rests exclusively on me. So if I have a few distractions for the time being, shouldn't be too detrimental. But yeah, how are things on your end?
They're good, man. I'll get into my updates in a minute, but you just reminded me that I wanted to ask you about how the daily kind of customer call is going for you all. So we call it office hours. We have one on Tuesday and one on Thursday, but you all were going to be doing one every day. How's that going? How's the engagement? Are you still doing one every day? Like what's the latest there?
Yeah, so we're still doing it. We do it, yeah, Monday through Friday. Honestly, the goal, I don't see in the immediate future, but the goal will be to do it 7 days a week. We get probably around 20-ish people attend it live. And then usually the videos go up on YouTube and they get a couple hundred views.
It's huge.
I mean, so I think that's like good. We're happy with that. But the bigger part is just how it fits into everything else we're doing. And so we've made a big push to improve our documentation. We've always found an edge just by kind of going above and beyond in support. And one thing I would do a lot when I was still doing support would be recording a quick screencast answering someone's question, and people always loved that. And so what we've been doing is having Jordan, who runs all of that, before he starts the office hours, he'll go through the support inbox, see what questions would be useful to other people to get answered. And then he'll answer those in the office hours. So it kills a few birds with one stone where the person who wrote into support gets a better answer. It's a video. They really like that. And it gives us a way to get them back into the Slack channel, into office hours, into all of that, and show them like, hey, this is the kind of things that we're covering every day. Come check it out. So I think that helps just drive more people into it and keep the engagement going. It also just makes it more efficient to clear out the support inbox because you can just do it during that hour each day. And then what we've started doing is clipping. Some of the questions are just very specific and not super relevant outside of like the person asking that question. That's fine. But usually a few questions each day are things that have come up before, and we can clip those out and add them to our FAQ in the knowledge base. Well, what we do is we get a transcript of it and then add that clip to the FAQ. And like, that's the post. We don't edit it really. Jordan will do a quick review and just for like grammar and just making sure that the jargon and everything was correct, transcribed correctly, but that's really it. And so we're building out our documentation through this process. And the plan is, we're just really embracing the MVP mentality of getting something rough out there. And it's valuable. The content answers the questions. We're putting a transcript up there so we at least have video and text, but we're not spending more than, Jordan's not going in and spending 20 minutes preparing for how he's going to answer this question. We're not editing the video afterwards. And the plan is just fill out the FAQ, go long tail with it, and fill out as many questions as we can. And then every, say, 6 months, go in, see which ones are getting the most views. And obviously, think about the product and what can we do to make it so this question doesn't come up to begin with. But then just invest in improving the content for the ones that come up the most often. And so it really gets us in a nice cadence where we don't have to think about, oh, I gotta create this documentation. I gotta do that. I gotta do this. Like, it just comes up naturally and we can fill it out as we go and then improve it periodically. And then we do once a week on Thursdays, typically, we'll do what we call a strategy session, which is something that we do prepare for a bit more. And it's really just a deeper dive into a specific subject. That's the type of content we were already doing, but just not consistently. And this helps us build out more of that academy content. And yeah, I really view it as just our content engine. This cadence lets us just keep content getting out there. It helps us build relationships with our community, engages them, and kind of forces us to stay on this path and get this stuff out there. So it's been valuable in that sense. And I think there's a lot more we can do with it too.
Yeah. What kind of like tech stack or tools are y'all using to manage the like putting this information in front of people and the sign up and scheduling and holding the calls and all that? Like what does all that look like?
No, there's not much. Like we use, I think it's called, we use StreamYard, which it's weirdly hard to stream directly to YouTube if you have more than one person on it. And so StreamYard just simultaneously streams to YouTube for you, and you can have multiple speakers and share your screen and all of that. And so literally all we do is every day, Jordan will go in, schedule the upcoming stream, and then we'll share the link in an hour before. And then right when we go live, there's no registration. It's just people can watch it on YouTube, or they can just ask their questions in Slack. And that's literally it. Then once it's done, it already is on YouTube. So Jordan will go in though and add timestamps for the different questions. If there are good FAQ type questions in there, he'll clip those out, submit them to rev.com for the transcript. And then when it comes back, just probably once a week, go in and add all those to our knowledge base in Intercom. So we really kept it simple. I think my original thinking was more of the webinar route, where it's like, okay, we have this webinar platform and it's scheduled at this time, and we send out the invitation and they have to register and then they get reminders. And that's too much when it's every day. And so I think it lets us just say, look, like this is at every day at this time, this happens. So if you want to take part, jump in then. I'm sure if we did more with that, we could get a bigger turnout. But I think it's just, I don't want to use, I know everyone says send more emails and stuff like that, and I think it's true to an extent, but I don't think you can send a daily email reminding about this thing every single day. And I would just rather use the emails for higher value things. And so that's kind of where we're at. I think there's ways we can incorporate it into the app more, like just let people know once we're live with a little link in the app so they can check out the stream. So that's something we'll look into developing down the road. But for now, it's legit just go live, post the link in Slack.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it. I mean, we have a Tuesday and a Thursday version of our call. We have a static page on our site that has a link to the event. And it's like a recurring event every week. And we just use the Zoom sign up link or sign up page that does send like a calendar invite and reminders and stuff like that. It's getting better for us in terms of like people are coming, multiple people are coming now and like having engagement and stuff like that. I think the community aspect of this is like a big thing that like we want to chat with people, not just in email or like in the app or something. And so, yeah, like that Slack community for you, we're going to be using Circle is going to be a big part of that in engaging or in like increasing engagement there. For us, that will only be for customers, but that's a big part of, I think probably for what both of us do is like being active in people's podcasting lives, you know, so that we can help them be more successful is one, it's just a lot of fun and it's good for, you know, the industry and it's good for business. So yeah, I think that's putting it in front of people in the community and people that are engaged there just should be a naturally like good fit.
You have a Facebook group, right?
Kind of. Yeah. I mean, we do, but it's not really, we're not very active in it. Like there are people that are active there, but I think it's like, it suffers the problem of like needing to be kind of moderated and not just be like a place for people to go to drop links about their episodes. And like at the end of the day, we don't own that experience. We don't have any way to communicate with the people there other than in Facebook. And so like, we want to tie it more into, you know, when someone becomes a customer, they automatically get an invite to the circle group. And then when they engage in the circle group, something comes back in the app and unlocks a thing maybe or something. So like we want a little more intimate and like tightly coupled relationship between like customer and app and community.
What made you decide to make it only for customers? Like, I guess one, is it a demo? Is it a Q&A? How is it structured right now?
Sorry. Yeah. The circle group is just going to be for customers. The call is for anyone can join the Thursday call. It's just, you know, office hours. Anyone that emails into support, it's included in the support like signature. The support folks know that, hey, if people have questions, they want to get on a call, Thursday at noon is the time to do that. And then we invite people on the day after they sign up for a trial to the getting started with Castos. And the difference between the two is like Thursday is anything, right? Talk about anything podcasting, even like a fair amount of it's like tech support, like people that want to have a call to walk through a thing, we do it there. But Tuesday literally is like, how do you go from nothing to get your podcast started and like really super specific. So we try to delineate it that way.
Yeah, that was one thing that originally I was planning on doing two calls a day where one was for trial users and it was more of a demo and still Q&A at the end, but beginning would be here's a 5-10 minute run through of SaberSim and then separate office hours. And I felt like one, it just would be spreading us a bit thin, but yeah, I just wasn't sure that there'd be enough demand on the demo side. And we were worried that combining them would kind of water down the questions people were asking because we didn't want to have a bunch of newer users in flooding with just very basic questions that get asked every single day. But honestly, we haven't found that. But I still think there's more we can do on just getting the people in the trial into something like that's a little bit maybe more hands-on to help them get up to speed. But that's just, yeah, the part we're struggling with right now. We're just trying to figure out if we do anything there.
Mm-hmm. I like this whole discussion. I mean, one, it talks to like customer service and success and support, but also talks to like content, you know, and marketing a little bit too. Like, you know, this being on YouTube and having a post on your site probably where it's linked back to and stuff. And, you know, like if folks don't listen to Bootstrap Web with Brian and Jordan, they talked about a similar kind of topic of like hiring someone kind of like Jordan would be for you. And like for us, it's Matt Medeiros. Like to create this kind of alternative type of content. And I think it's a really smart idea, you know, and like a really good trend is like, hey, don't just write blog posts, come up with different styles, and formats, and ways that you create content and engage with either customers or potential like audience members. That is like the most applicable way to engage with them and the right kind of format for the message you want to send. And so like, yeah, I think this is going to be a way that we'll more and more see content marketing go is like, it's not just a blog. It's all this other stuff that is more interesting for people to engage with and like more meaningful, I think, in the end.
Yeah, there's just a lot. It's hard to just, for content in general, I just think there's so much to it because it's the content itself. There's getting it in front of people. There's getting people to come back to read more and engage. And then it's like, once you have them, how do you bridge the gap from the content to the product? And for us, really, I just feel like it's the community is what ties it all together. Whereas if we can get people in there and can continuously provide value through that, it gives us so many more touch points and just makes it easier to work them into more of our product funnel. That community is where we're going to be doubling down more. Right now we're on Slack. It's great because that's where our internal communications are as well. We have a entirely separate group for that. But if you're not on the paid plan, you can't really use the API much. So there's not a great way to have different permissions for different users and give them access to some channels and not others. And so right now, effectively, the Slack channel is invite only. You get invited when you're a customer. If people ask on the trial, we'll invite them as well. On support, we'll invite them at other times too. But we just don't really have a time efficient way of removing people if they cancel and that kind of thing. And so I think what we're planning to do is moving to Discord, which is pretty much complete. Like no features are really gated. You can get different things if like extras if you pay for them, but no features are really gated. The API is powerful. And so we could set up something where the community is completely open to anybody. And then subscribers get certain premium channels with more access to our team and that sort of thing. And I think that's the direction we are looking to go, is just build out something, a much bigger audience, a much bigger community, so people get exposure to the way we think, to our content, and eventually to our product. But yeah, it's going to take some time to get there, though, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So my update is like all around hiring, and wanted to just like toss around some topics maybe that might be worth discussing or interesting. One is, I know that you have hired some developers through Blue Coding. All right, so David at Blue Coding. Hi, David. Hope you listen. We have looked at working with them in the past and have kind of gotten, you know, job proposals to them, and they've shown us some candidates and stuff, and it's not quite worked out. We're engaged with them again and a couple of other groups similar right now. And these are, like, folks who aren't familiar, like, I would call them like developer placement agencies. And there's a couple different models. One is like, you know, Castos would pay Blue Coding, who would in turn pay the developer, or, you know, there are some that's more like a headhunter, you know, kind of thing, where like you would pay a placement fee and it's, you know, 10 or 20% of the first year salary. So yeah, I don't know. We're experimenting with it right now. And I tell you, it's really, it cuts the first like two layers of worry and hassle and effort off of the recruiting process, to where basically anybody they introduce me to, I consider as like a good communicator, technically kind of like qualified. And we just give them our test project. They do it and we do a technical review, and that's going to be the process. So I don't know like how you feel about it at this point and like how it's changed your hiring process and all that, or if it's worth talking about.
Yeah. I mean, for us, we've only hired one developer through them. And we basically did what you laid out, where we let them do the upfront recruiting, technical screen. Then I think we just had Brian, who's been a full-time consultant with us for a while, but he's phasing down his hours at this point. But like, he did kind of a brief technical interview with Eduardo. And then Matt and I just had more of a culture fit interview. And then there was just a test project, and it worked very well. We're super happy with Eduardo. The process was smooth with Blue Coding. So like, once we get to the point where we're bringing on more developers, our plan is to work with them again. The only other addition we had to the team was Ben, but he's another consultant who's US-based and has been working with us for a bit. But yeah, that's something where I just feel like you get a lot of, at our scale, where we can, it's super hard to compete at any scale almost with the big tech giants for US-based talent. I think there are ways to be competitive, and as the company gets more and more profitable, you can offer more and more competitive salaries, but it's never going to be one for one to something like an Amazon or a Google are going to offer. And that's okay if you can find the ways to make your company more all around competitive, whether it's working remote, which isn't as big of a differentiator as it used to be, or that sort of thing. But I mean, for us, it's like, we're not growing quickly enough where we need an internal recruiter. But at the same time, we want very good talent. And so we're happy to pay the fees to someone who can manage that talent pipeline for us for now. And yeah, they did a good job of that for us. So we've been happy with that. But yeah, it's just, I think in the fall is when we'll start looking into some more hires and kind of seeing there. Because honestly, like, we've been very happy with Eduardo. He's been a great addition to the team. We actually bought out his contract from Blue Coding, so he's employed with us. And he's in Brazil. And like, honestly, I think we're going to try to hire more developers in Brazil. I just think there's so much value in getting people on similar time zones, and also it'll be easier for Eduardo to interface with the rest of the team, help them get up to speed. And so that's kind of where we're at right now.
I do think there's something to like having that nexus, you know, not in a tax or legal sense, but like a concentration of folks like in one place. And I guess we do that a little bit with time zones now. We're basically, almost everyone in the US is East Coast, except for Sam, our head of growth. He's in Denver. And then, you know, over here, you know, three developers and myself, you know, plus or minus 1 hour over here. And it's really helpful. Like, it really makes, you know, even if you have kind of a, say, a European pod and an American pod, like, it just makes those groups being able to work together so much easier. I don't know how companies like Automattic, where they're just literally all over the world all the time, do it. I think they just have to say, like, we can't have live meetings, you know, and like everything has to be asynchronous. We're definitely not disciplined enough to do that just yet.
I know I've probably already had my rants on fully async, but I just think you have to be so strong on the early level, like early steps of the product process to make it work, where your spec, your product stories, all of that need to be on point, dialed in, so that is completely clear what needs to be done. Otherwise, it's just going to be a very inefficient process because you just won't have enough overlap to really catch many of those issues. It's like, even as daily standups, I mean, in the past on remote teams, it's like we've had them, but I think there's value in having it at the same, not literally the exact same time of the day for everybody, but if it's a start of day for one person, it's the end for another, someone's in the middle of it, and some people are coming online literally just for this. They weren't working because the times are just so far off. I just don't think the impact is that high because you're not in sync. You're not all working. You're at different parts. I just think it gets a mess. And I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if I'm sure Automattic like has figured this out, but it's just I think there's still enough talent in concentrated areas that we don't need to make the game
right.
harder than it is.
Right.
And that's
right.
really the big thing is like, sure, you can make it work, but it just obviously will add complexity. And even if you can solve that, that's fine. But for us, like we know that's not our skill set. And so we would just rather not make our lives harder.
Yeah, I like it. Speak like two other things on the hiring front. One is I don't have an answer for this, but it's just something I'm aware of more and more all the time is how we write job postings and where we post them and recruit people from and how we have people go through the interview process in terms of like the modalities we use to communicate with people and everything. We're finding, and I hate to admit that I'm learning, that there are a lot of these things that kind of without us knowing or subconscious invite or dissuade people from applying to our roles, right? So like, I think everybody knows like, hey, you want to, you know, make a job posting that's interesting and people are like, you know, jazzed about applying for and wanting to work there. But like, I guess what I'm saying is, there's a lot of layers to that we're seeing in terms of like genders looking at the same job posting differently, right? And like, is your job posting, you know, inviting to men and women equally? You know, is it inviting to people from different backgrounds and in different areas equally? And I mean, we re-looking at how we post jobs and what our job posting format looks like and everything like that
What have you learned? Like, how have you tried to get better at that?
Yeah, so we're just at the awareness stage. Like, I don't think we have like taken a lot of steps to improve it, other than just really, really starting to take a look at like. I think it starts with like just the tone of your job posting. You know, to say like, because I want my job postings to come off as like, we're here to kick ass and we're a high growth company and we want people to do their best. And like that is a type of person, right? Like that's probably really good for a sales role, but like for a customer success person, you know, that is not like the tone to use for like maybe like the right candidate. So we're just like really thinking about that to say like, are we introducing bias into the equation before anybody ever sees the job posting, much less applies, and we start screening them? So really, just an observation kind of data point.
No, I think that's important. And to be completely honest, we haven't put a lot of thought into that. I understand how important it is from a diversity and inclusion standpoint, and also just from an attracting talent in general standpoint. And it makes so much sense to me now why the value of having a CEO speaking at a bunch of events or a developer evangelist or whatever it may be, like I completely get that because I think there is a massive, massive shift that happens when, if you can become a company that people want to work at, where you're getting the inbound leads for people saying, I almost don't care what the position is. I want to work there. And no job posting is going to get that for you. You can get, you can write a job post better than others and get people excited about it, but it's still just a different level when they are seeking you out. I mean, it's the same as inbound versus outbound leads. Like, it's just, you're going to get very different average qualities from there. And that's more the angle that I've been thinking about it from. And I truly believe that we have sort of the cheat code of having this community of people who, because this is a more consumer oriented product, if they're spending their time in our Slack, if they're asking us questions, if they're showing up to all these things, this is not their work. They're doing this as a passion. And so it's been much easier for us to find motivated people who want to work with us. And so it's let us not necessarily have to put as much, not that we don't put effort into the job description or things like that, but it's like people will, when we say we're hiring for something, we will get people who apply and say, this isn't the, like, this isn't the job I'm looking for, but I want to work with you guys. And we found people, like, we were hiring for support, and we actually ended up hiring a developer out of that and things like that. So that's definitely been a superpower that we have. As we've done more and more hiring, we're more and more grateful for just that ability. I mean, I think it's something that's just, it's fucking hard. Like, otherwise, like, when we've done job boards, when we've done all these things, like, we haven't been that impressed with the quality of the candidates that have come through. Working with Blue Coding, that was why we went to Blue Coding, is we just didn't do a great job of hiring developers on our own. And I think, yeah, just hiring is just really hard. And I think the more you can build a real brand that attracts people, even if for us, I mean, it's not like we have a big audience. We're in a very niche space, which makes it much easier for us to do this. But I think having those levers at play makes the whole thing a lot easier for us.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think you're spot on. Like, you know, Stripe doesn't have a hard time attracting like really good talent, right? It's just because they're doing such interesting things. I think both of us are doing interesting things. And everyone knows the culture is wonderful there. And so, yeah, I think it comes off, like, when I think about saying all this stuff, it comes off as really esoteric and me not actually working, as opposed to like writing marketing copy or thinking about sales or something. But like, I'm spending 25% of my time on hiring right now. And so it should be, you know, I should be doing longer term things to make that easier in the future. And one of them is, you know, a company like Blue Coding, to take some of that off my plate. Some part of it is the brand that our company is and our culture is, to make recruiting easier in the future. Yeah. Yeah. Interesting.
No, it's something that there's different levels to it for sure. And I think you can have an approach where you're more of a top-down company and you don't need the real buy-in from everyone on the team. You're fine with contractors showing up, doing their job, going home, because you're driving the show and you're keeping it all on track. Been in those types of companies, I haven't enjoyed them. I like having the motivated team. I like having people with more feeling of ownership and all of that. And there's ways you can do it through culture. There's ways you can actively attract those kind of people and all of that. And it's just figuring out what you're looking for. What naturally does your company, like, what advantages do you have that you can play into for that? What partners can you reach out to, like a Blue Coding, like a recruiting agency and all of that? So yeah, it's a maze to navigate. And I think it's something that, yeah, we're just going to have to keep iterating on it and figuring out.
Well, I have a few other things to talk about, but I will wait till next week, because I think we're a little long on this episode already. But yeah, I mean, it's good to catch up. Nice to hear about the community stuff. Like, I think that really is the silver bullet and something that I know we're working on. So yeah, really cool to hear that that's working out so well for y'all.
Yeah. And happy to dig into that more. If anyone has any questions about that or anything else that they would like us to dig into, feel free to reach out at podcast@seekingscale.com. Thanks, Alan, for tuning in.